For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
Thank you, Donna, for joining us and for sharing so much valuable information. For anybody who's looking to get in touch with Donna and learn a lot more, or maybe how she can help you, she can be reached at 516-997-0150. Donna, thank you again. I have learned so much, and I hope everybody else did here too.
Alyssa, I'd like to just also say the other number you can reach me at is 516-218-6919. That's my direct line to my office.
Even better.
Okay, terrific. Thank you so much for having me.
Donna, thank you again. Our next guest is Sandra Radna, a well-known and sought-after divorce attorney all over New York. Sandra is a seasoned pro in representing clients in high-conflict situations where both sides are fighting over everything, including the family and pet, which can prevent a case from settling. Now, this is a topic Sandra has seen many, many times before, and one she's here to talk about. Sandra, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Alyssa.
Now, when you're handling a divorce, not only are you trying to settle things like asset distribution, custody, visitation, child support, and alimony obligations, but there's a whole other layer that you're seeing an increase in, which people are referring to as pet custody, and trying to decide who gets the family pet. Why are we seeing more situations like this arise?
Well, places all over the country, pets are personified. They're part of the family. People don't think of it as just property, which is the way most laws and most states see it. They see it as a member of the family. So when the marriage breaks up, just like the children, there's a discussion about who's going to get Rover and who's, you know, where is Rover going to live and who's going to take care of the pet the best way. So what we're seeing now is a trend of more and more states starting to pass laws, and actually there is legislation that's been passed. It's just waiting for Governor Cuomo's signature in New York. It's been on his desk since July 6th, I believe, trying to have a custody law for pets in New York to look at the best interests of the pets.
How do you think that's going to change your role and other legal professionals when it comes to this?
Well, I think that the way that we've been handling it in the past is just by agreement. And when we talk about a high conflict situation where there can't be an agreement because the parties don't agree, now we have a way for the judge to decide it. And there was actually a case in 2013 in New York where a judge actually did decide it. He actually had a hearing. It was Judge Cooper in Manhattan, and he actually had a hearing with regard to the pet that the parties had and made a decision because they could not agree. So it's just seems like the natural evolving of this issue, because people do care very much about their pets, and it's not just dogs and cats, but it's parrots and other pets also. Parrots have a very long lifespan. They live for, I think, 40 years or around that time. So that's a long time. So if something happens to break up the marriage, who's going to get the parrot? And the parrot talks. So talk about personifying a pet. You know, if the parrot is saying, I love you all day long, just how are you going to miss that? So I think that it helps things to be able to have legislation to say that we're going to consider what's in the best interest of the pet when deciding who's going to have custody if the parties can't agree.
And what are some of the things they look for to make that decision?
Who was the person that's more familiar with the pet schedule and what the pet needs? Some pets have special foods. I had a case where the dog had special food that was prepared for them that they had to pick up, and it was because the dog had some type of a digestive problem. So it was almost like pre-digested food that they would get. And the other spouse really wasn't involved in that. The one that was taking care of the pet and knew how to take care of him, so his digestive issues were taken care of the best way, was the best one to have custody of that pet. So and the other thing is the relationship. Are they just fighting about it just to have another piece of property to say that I won this contest about the dog, or is it because they really love and care about the animal and want to be with them? So they look at very similar things they would look at for a child, as strange as it sounds to say. What is in the best interest of the pet? Who's home more? Is the pet going to be boarded a lot if they're with this person, or are they going to be able to take care of them because they actually work from home, or maybe they're not working, or they have a more flexible schedule? It would be, those types of criteria.
So they'll create a binding agreement that will have everything from visitation schedules, vacations, weekend rotation.
Exactly. Who's going to take care of the pet? Where is it going to be boarded? There's a big difference in where you could board pets. There are kennels, which could be very flea infested and not a pleasant experience for the pet at all. And there are other places where they'll take the pet out and they'll walk. And there's some people have it at their houses where the dogs or the cat can run free outside in a safe place. So, yes, you get to basically dictate how things are going to be for the pet if you have a legal binding agreement. And it gives predictability, which is what every legal binding agreement is supposed to do.
What if one side comes into the marriage with the pet and then the couple decides to get divorced? Does that person get to keep the pet, or are now both parties considered owners?
The answer is going to be it depends, which is often the answer in law. Usually if it's a separate property of the other person, and again, pets are still considered property, it would stay with that separate owner. However, say that it was a separate property of the first person, and that person really abandoned the pet during the marriage, and the pet was really taken care of by the other party, and now the pet is attached to that person, or maybe the pet has medical issues that the person that was not the owner took care of. It would likely be that there'd be some type of agreement to see what's going to be in the best interest of that pet, even though the other person was the technical owner. So the law really is going to change things.
And I assume they also look at, pet attachment when there's minor children involved. As the children go from parent to parent, I would assume maybe having the pet go with them would also ease the stress and the burden of what everybody's kind of going through.
Well, you hit the nail right on the head, because a lot of times the children are very attached to the pet and don't want to leave the pet behind when they're going back and forth to parents, especially when the parents have shared custody where they might be with one parent for 5 days at a time and then the next parent for 5 days at a time. So the pet can go back and forth with the children, and that would be part of the agreement as well. So everything can really be tailored to the specific situation of the parties in order to see what's best for the pet, but also what's best for the children and the other family members who are attached to that pet.
Are your clients happy that this is finally being recognized here in New York and people no longer have to fight? There'll be some sort of finality in how they handle this, so these matters don't have to drag on?
I think that in cases where the parties can't agree, the clients are so happy because at least they have a way, and the pet's not just disregarded and said, if you can't agree, I'm not going to get involved. It's a piece of property like the ladder or a piece of furniture. This at least gives people some recourse. And the other thing is about having a law about it is once there's a court order saying what happens with the pet, if the other party doesn't comply with it, you can come back to court and enforce it. And you can't do that if there's no ordered agreement or court order. So I think that this is making my clients very happy and relieved.
I want to ask you very quickly, a lot of times with custody agreements, they also talk about things like medical bills, extracurricular activities. Does the same thing apply here to pets if pets need to go to the vet or a doggy daycare?
Absolutely. That would be part of any court order or any agreement. Which party is going to be paying for the veterinarian bills? Is there going to be insurance for the bills of the pet? What about if there's a groomer, who's going to be paying for that to groom the animal? If the pet has to take any medications or vitamins, who's paying for that? So there's a lot of different issues. And then going back to the issue of boarding the pet if somebody goes on vacation, maybe the right of first refusal saying that instead of boarding the pet, the other spouse would be taking care of the pet. So absolutely, those are really great questions because you don't think about it when you're just looking at the pet as property. But when you look at the pet as a member of the family who's going to be having their best interest taken care of, you will look at all of those different items that you mentioned.
Wow. Sandra, thank you so much for explaining this. I know it's a topic that a lot of people are talking about, especially here in New York, and you've explained it so well, and I hope it helps a lot of other people. Sandra, is there a phone number that you'd like people to get in touch with you if they have further questions?
They can call me at 631-754-6382 or 212-709-8187. Thank you.
Terrific. Sandra, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. So please listen up. Are you aware that banks are now required to spy on us for the government and then report any behavior they think is suspicious? It's true. I was shocked as I read Swiss America's blockbuster report, The Secret War on Cash. This new war against cash is really a war against all freedom-loving Americans. Listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Now get your free copy by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead, read The Secret War on Cash free to every Robert Davi fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.